Observational science gives us the kind of things that we can see and we can test and we can demonstrate, we can verify, right? There's two types of sciences. There's observational and historical. Remember we talked about that? Observational science gives us great things like cell phones and computers and cures for diseases. And historical science is a belief about the past, right? Okay, that's what people propose. This is what we think happened in the past. And we have a belief about the past, and the evolutionists have a belief about the past, right? See, the trouble is they mix the two together, all right? But I want you to know, we need to divide them up. We need to help people understand. Yeah, that's fine if scientists want to have a belief of what they think. It's called a theory, right? It's called a model, okay? And we have a belief about the past. The only difference is we have an eyewitness, right? Okay, there's a difference. Well, let's see if you understand the difference. You ready, boys and girls? How many people have ever heard of the theory of gravity? Raise your hand. You've heard of the theory of... Okay, not everybody, right? How about the law of gravity? Yeah, it's a law. See, gravity you can demonstrate. You can experiment with it. It runs by mathematical law. See, it's an observational science. Okay, how many people heard of the law of evolution? No, you haven't, right? How about the theory of evolution? Yeah, see, it's a belief. It's a theory. So you see, that's the way it is, but here's the way it's presented, all right? You've got what? Big Bang and millions of years of rock layers and life evolving and the dinosaurs and things like that. I mean, that's just facts, right? And what God says, that's just myth, just faith. You can't go along with that if you really want to be scientific, right? Isn't that the way it's presented? What we really have, and we got to understand and help our young people understand, we have observational science, the kind of science that gives us cell phones and cures for diseases and good, you know, wonderful things. And we have two beliefs about the past, right? But trouble is, the evolutionists, they cheat. They call their belief science. And a whole lot of people grow up, become Bible teachers, and they're confused. They think millions of years is science, so therefore you can't believe what God said. Isn't that terrible? You may recognize this guy. Let's hear what he had to say.
I think what we're looking at is that there was a point of time after the earth was created, after these things were done, after the universe was formed, after the asteroid hit the earth and wiped out the dinosaurs, after all that, there was a point of time that there's a particular human being that God touched. And that was the human that started the race that we are now part of. And I think prior to that, who knows what was here. But we haven't worked all the wrinkles out, but I think to deny the clear record that's there before us makes us look silly.
Okay, so what clear record is he denying? Yes, right. And why doesn't he want to believe what this is? He doesn't want to look silly. Folks, is peer pressure just for kids? No, we have to understand that. So this is what he thinks. He doesn't know this, that there's observational science and then there's two beliefs about the past. He doesn't know that real observational science, really, it confirms God's word. The trouble is, he's taking the entire evolutionary idea, like the dinosaurs, and just like what they believe. And you know what? Dinosaurs are probably used more than anything else to teach little children that you can't believe the Bible. Right? So here, boys and girls, you like dinosaurs? I'll reel you in for a good dose of evolution. You begin to understand now why the Creation Museum is big on dinosaurs, right? So here's this question. How do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? You know, people ask that all the time, but I have bad news for you. We don't fit dinosaurs into the Bible. I'm sorry. You can all go home. I'll come back at 6. No. Now, see, this is what happens all the time. People think, well, this is what I think happened in the past. I think this and this. Let's see if it fits into the Bible. Nope, doesn't fit into the Bible. I guess the Bible must be wrong. Isn't that what people do? Right? See, they pour their ideas into the Bible, and it messes up the Bible. Really, if the Word of God is the real history of the universe, we have it directly from our Creator, and we ought to be able to trust Him, then maybe we ought to use the Bible to answer questions. What do you think? Maybe we could use the Bible to answer questions like dinosaurs. Oh, what a novel idea. That's what we're going to do. We're going to use the Bible to answer our questions about dinosaurs. Before we jump into it, I want to see, boys and girls, how well you know your dinosaurs. If you recognize this dinosaur, you just shout it right out. You ready, kids, back there? Right here? Are you ready to shout it out? What's this? I heard a T-Rex. You can be bolder then. Okay, yeah, that's a T-Rex. What's this one? I heard a lot of little older boys and girls there, but okay. Yeah, all right. Triceratops. Okay, is that a dinosaur? No, what is it? It's a Komodo dragon. Why isn't it a dinosaur? Okay, dinosaurs had their legs hinged underneath like this. Modern reptiles have their legs hinged out like that. A little anatomy lesson. What was this? Who knows? A what? I'm not sure I heard. I heard a lot of mumbling, but it was a brachiosaur. If anybody said brontosaurus, you were watching too much Fred. Okay, but how about this one? All right. Yeah, the most polite dinosaur, a plesiosaur. Now, technically, this wasn't a dinosaur. You know why? Because dinosaurs were land animals, and this would be called a prehistoric aquatic reptile. Do you realize that there's no such thing as prehistoric? Is there anything before in the beginning God created? Nothing. Nothing is real. Technically, nothing's prehistoric. It's fun to see that. What is that? Okay, very good. Got that guy out. Pterodactyls, Pteranodons are all in the same group, right? And one last one here. What's that one? Somebody said us. A Stegosaurus. Very, very good. Okay, boys and girls, where'd you learn those names of dinosaurs? Did you learn those in Sunday school? No, you didn't learn them in Sunday school. Where? How about movies and books and cartoons and things like that? Is that where you learned them? Things like that? What do you think? Yeah, you see, that's where kids learn these things. They don't learn them in Sunday school. Folks, moms and dads, I want you to understand something, and grandmas and grandpas. When young people, they're learning the names of dinosaurs, and I've had four-year-old kids that can spout out dinosaurs faster than I could ever think of, right? And they know the names of the dinosaurs. While they're learning those names, they're also learning an entire worldview. What do I mean? They're learning subliminally, where did I come from? How did I get here? Where do I go when I die? Where can I find truth? You see, they're learning an evolutionary worldview. And while they're learning the names of dinosaurs. So moms and dads, we need to give kids the proper understanding of dinosaurs. Otherwise, they're going to learn a whole different worldview. You see? So we're going to start with the Word of God as if it's the real history of the universe. And we're going to use the Bible to tell us about dinosaurs. Just before we jump into that, we better go through the real history, right? I want you to have this memorized by the time I'm done here today, okay, boys and girls? All right, it starts out with C for creation. God made a perfect world. There wasn't death and suffering and animals eating each other for millions of years. Right? God made it in six normal days, about 6,000 years. And we got to live forever with perfect fellowship with God. What happened? Well, the corruption, Adam's sin, changed everything. Now we live in a sin-cursed earth of death and suffering. And sin got so bad, God had to destroy the entire world in a global flood. After the flood, people still didn't obey God. God came down and confused the languages of family groups, and they had to spread out all over the earth. And eventually the Creator, Jesus Christ, took on human flesh and came and lived with us and rose, grew up and what? Suffered and died on the cross in our place so we wouldn't have to die in our sins. And if you've trusted in Him, when He comes back, He's going to restore us back to much like it was at the beginning. What was it like at the beginning? There was no death and no suffering and no homework and perfect fellowship with God, right? Yes, that's the way it was. Well, does the Bible tell us, though, when God made T-Rex? Made everything on 6 days. Did it tell us when He made T-Rex? What do you think? Yeah, must have made people on day six, right? Isn't that what Pat Robinson was saying that might have looked like? No, you see, people were not like that. You know, people were not like that either. They're totally different. We're made in the image of God. But when did God make T-Rex? Does it say? Well, let's take a look. T-Rex was a land animal, right? Does the Bible say when God made land animals? Very good. Yeah, day six. So the Bible does tell us when He made T-Rex. We know there were dinosaurs in the garden because we just happened to have a picture that Eve took while she was in the garden. All right, I'm just kidding you on that. But it would be fun to be able to ride on dinosaurs. We're not sure if there were dinosaurs in the garden, but it certainly wouldn't have been a problem. But people tell me, well, T-Rex, he's got big, sharp teeth. Adam would have been afraid. And Adam says, yep, they got big, sharp teeth, all right. So you tell me, what do you think T-Rex was thinking about when he read the menu, right? God first made him, right? Adam and Eve there, right? What was he thinking about when he read the menu? Was he thinking about this? That's what most people think he was thinking about, but the Bible tells us what he was thinking about. There's another answer that the Bible has. How about that? It says, every beast and every bird and everything that creeps on the earth, girls, they had creeps back then, you know that? But what they ate green herbs. So T-Rex was a beast, right? Right? And so what did T-Rex eat? Yes. That's what he was thinking about when he read the menu. But people say, well, that's obvious. T-Rex got big, sharp teeth, so he must have been a meat eater. Well, you know what? Just because animals have big, sharp teeth, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to eat meat. What do you think this animal eats? I think he eats anything he wants to. That's what I think. But you know what it is? It's a panda bear. What do panda bears eat? Hey, bamboo. I don't know about you, but I think if you're going to chew on trees, maybe you got to have some good-sized teeth. Maybe God made it just to eat what it's supposed to eat. How about this creature? This looks ferocious. It looks like you just rip the flesh off your body. I've seen these in Africa, by the way. And they are big, and they're ugly, and they have wings, and they swoop down at you. You know what it is? It's a fruit bat. Yeah, what do fruit bats eat? Man, you guys are smart. Okay, even bears today get along just fine on a vegetarian diet, but we don't live in a world where bears just eat vegetables, right? What happened, boys and girls? Oh, it was when Adam sinned. Because of Adam's sin, it changed everything. The animals started to eat each other and were separated from our Creator. You know, Adam had to work hard after that to get food. And now what's T-Rex thinking about? Sin changed everything, right? Yes. The animals were started to eat each other. Adam and Eve and all of us were separated from our Creator. And that's why God killed the first animal recorded in Scripture. And it really was an object lesson. It was a picture for Adam and Eve of a sacrifice that would come. Really, it was the Lamb of God that would come and sacrifice for us. Well, the Bible says Adam and Eve had lots of kids, right? But you think it was all just a bunch of party? Well, you know what? The first son of Adam was the first murder, and it gets worse from there. And eventually God says to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then he said, and I'd like you to build a little boat and put a few animals on it. Is that what Noah's Ark looked like? Well, you know it's Noah's Ark if it's got giraffes sticking out the chimney. Everybody knows that, right? Well, you see, children grow up with that. I see it on nursery walls and nursery books and things like that. And a lot of times, if they haven't gotten the proper image, they'll grow up with that image, and then they'll think, well, it's obviously a fairy tale, and by the time they go off to college, they're just chucking all that fairy tale, right? Yeah, maybe we need to give them, like I showed this morning, what the real ark looked like and how it was designed like a modern-day barge. It wasn't designed like this bathtub thing that would tip over. It was designed to withstand a global flood. Well, how do you get millions of animals on a boat? Have you heard that? There's no way you can get millions of species of animals on a boat. So when somebody says, it's impossible for Noah to get millions of species of animals on a boat, what do you say? You're right. Okay, because he didn't. Exactly right. Well, how many animals were on there? Well, first of all, we have to understand this thing was huge, right? It's a football field and another half, right? So then let's take a look and see this. If it's really that big, right, 1.5 football fields long, 3 stories tall, but it's still impossible to get millions of species, right? So today we use this kingdom, phylum, class, order, genus, order, family, genus, species, right? And species are what? Very specialized. Lots of different species of animals, okay? Did God, when he created, did he create them according to species? They didn't even use those words back then. What word did he use? Kinds, exactly right. He created them according to kind. You get the idea that they would reproduce after their kind. And when they were on the ark, there was 2 from each kind, 7 or at least 7, maybe 7 pairs of the clean animals, right? So if we could figure out what a created kind is, maybe that'll help us figure out how many animals were on the ark. You want to work with me here and figure out what a kind is? Yeah. All right, good. Somebody does. Thank you. All right, let's see. Let's get you going here. I'm going to show you a picture, and if you know what this is, you just call it right out. Are you ready? What are those? I heard two people can read. What? Try again. Okay. What are those? They're good, right? What are those? Dogs. How about those? Dogs. How about those? Actually, we don't think those are dogs. Now, maybe a mutant dog. Sorry if you like poodles, but the point is, did God have to bring to Noah two from all those varieties of dogs, two by two, to go on the ark? What do you think? No. Two from the what? Dog kind. Exactly right. Even the evolutionists understand today that all of our modern-day dogs, they all go back to a dog type, right? All of our modern-day cats, doesn't make a difference if they're really, really big or really small. They're all cats, right? They all go back to a cat type or a cat kind. So the area of the family where we see probably where the created kind is. So today we've got lots of varieties of dogs, but they all go back to a dog type. So here's what would happen. God brought two from the dog type, and that two representative dog type would have a lot of different varieties between the two of them. All right? They get on the ark. They get off the ark. They have a whole lot of puppies, right? And then these puppies have different varieties. Some are big, or some are small, some have short tails, some long tails. But they go to different parts of the earth, taking their different varieties with them. And that's why we would expect today there would be a lot of varieties of dogs. But when dogs breed with dogs, they always breed what? Really? And when cats breed with cats, they're always what? Cats, right? Just what you'd expect if God created them according to kind. Isn't that fun to see that? Yeah, they do. And how about horses? Yeah, horses, they're still horses. That's why we have a zonkey at the museum. The zonkey's a little bit bigger than that. How many have ever pet the donkey at the museum? One person's pet the donkey. Okay, all right, very good. Why a zonkey? Well, it's a halfway between zebra and a donkey because we want to illustrate to people that God didn't have to put zebras and donkeys and horses and all these things on the ark, but just two from the horse kind. You see, when animals can breed together and make fertile offspring, they're all from the same kind. All right? So let's ask this. How many animals were on the ark? Two from every kind and seven of some, and or seven pairs of some, maybe. All right? Now, when you understand that today, camels, llamas, alpacas, they're all from the same kind, and they are separated by continents today. This is narrowing it down, isn't it? So let's think about this. This boat, all right? Would it be able to hold all the animals? Well, how many animals were there? Okay. There was no more than 1,500 individual kinds, right? But seven pairs or the others. So at the very max, there would be probably no more 7,000 individual animals on the ark. We've got a book back there that will detail how many cages they had to have for mammals and reptiles and birds and things like that. It's all detailed back there. No more than 7,000. That boat was plenty big enough, plus food, plus more, and things like that. That's why we built that ark, to help people understand. But even dinosaurs, right? Well, people say there's about a thousand species of dinosaurs. Well, it's probably true. Really, at the max, only about 80 individual kinds of dinosaurs, probably a lot less when we understand really what they were. But people tell me, how do you get dinosaurs on an ark? That would be a problem, wouldn't it, kids? Yes. Well, you know what? Some of them did grow to be very, very big. Many of them were quite small, about the size of a chicken. Nobody knows that. The average size dinosaur really was about no bigger than an average buffalo. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Even the biggest dinosaurs, it doesn't make any difference how big they grew, right? The largest egg could only be about this big. Of course, a lot of the eggs were much smaller. But why couldn't the biggest egg be this big? Well, they're reptile eggs. Reptile eggs are leathery, and they have to be able to breathe for the little guy in there to breathe. And if they're any bigger, the thickness of the skin gets too big, and the little guy would suffocate. So they doesn't make any difference how big they grew. They all started out pretty small. So God would not have put great-great-great-great-grandma and grandpa on the ark that grew to be three stories tall. How about just young adults? You know, it really isn't until about 5 years when they start to really take off and grow. We know that from growth rings. So when you put on the glasses of God's word that all the animals, two by two, went on the ark, we can begin to understand how God could put dinosaurs on the ark. But if you just look at things through millions of years ago and all the dinosaurs were huge and things like that, if that's the only glasses you wear, then you're going to say, well, scientifically speaking, it couldn't have happened, right? But we like to help people understand, yes, we can believe God's word just like it says. Well, what happened to the dinosaurs that weren't on the ark? They turned into what? Fossils. They died. Exactly right. All the animals that weren't on the ark, they died. All right. So really, the fossils are some of the best evidence for a global flood. One of my talks, I go into this. Really, the fossils doesn't come close to proving evolution. No evolutionist really uses the fossils, all right? But you ask the average person, well, the fossils prove it. No, they don't. Really, what you have to have just the right conditions in order to make fossils, because fossils aren't being made today. One little boy at the front row said, my teacher said when fish die, they sink to the bottom and they gradually get buried and they turn into fossils. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let's do an experiment. Have your dad buy you a goldfish, and then when it dies, because they always die, don't they? Yeah. What happens? You tell me whether it sinks or floats. Well, what happened? Most fish, when they die, you know, they blow it up with gas, and they belly up, and they float, and other fish come and eat it, and then all the pieces go to the bottom, and the crabs get everything. Do you realize fossils are not being made today? You can look at the bottom of the ocean. You will not find fossils. Where do you find fossils? Up on the land, even up on top of mountains. How in the world did that happen? All right? Well, you see, we talked about that, how that fountains of the deep burst forward and rushed all that water up onto the land, lay down all those layers full of dead things, right? How'd they get on top of mountains? What happened? During the flood, you got the mountains eventually rising up, right? And then the water's rushing off, so you get all these sea creatures and things all the way up there. So in order to get a fossil, you have to have a catastrophe. So here's a fish minding his own business, and what happens? There's a terrible catastrophe, all right? And all of a sudden, he's buried very, very quickly without oxygen, just like that. So he's not going to rot very fast. And then you have an awful lot of mineralized water coming in and leaching into the bones, turning it into rocks. So what happens? Yeah. He turns into a fossil. Now, just to show you some of the evidence that shows that it wasn't a nice, that where he just died, keeled over, gradually buried, turned into fossils. Here's an ichthyosaur that died right in the middle of giving birth. All right, and the one right next to it, that one died right in the middle of eating its lunch. In other words, boom, terrible catastrophe, buried very, very quickly. So that's where the fossils come from. And the fossils really are the best evidence is that there was a global flood. You know what irks me is that the rock layers and the fossils are an evidence that God left all over the world, that God judged the world in the past. He's going to judge again. You better get ready. But you know what? The evolutionists have hijacked fossils and rock layers to prove to kids you can't believe the Bible. Does that get you upset? Does me. We need to change that. Well, here's their theory. You got way at the bottom, you got the Precambrian layer, no life at all, and then you have life forming, but just very minute, small life. And as you go up and up, you get into the age of reptiles and eventually mammals, and you get more. Okay. That's their theory. You know what we actually see in the rock layers? We see dinosaur bones, mammal bones, fish bones, all buried together, all mangled up like they were buried in a big flood or something like that. They just can't figure that one out. Right? But that's what they see. Does what we see in the fossil record go along with their theory? Do people know that? No, they don't. Right? Here's one curator from the museum says, we find mammals in almost all of our dinosaur dig sites. These were not noticed years ago. So in other words, did the dinosaurs live 65 million years ago? Then they died, became fossils, then millions of years later the mammals came and died. Right? Is that true? That's not even what the fossil record says. Exactly right. Well, another problem, boys and girls, is that the evolutionists will say that the dinosaurs turned into birds. Anybody heard that one? Yeah, they're even writing books and putting feathers on dinosaurs to try to prove to kids that dinosaurs evolved, right? Well, this is their theory. You know, if ape-like creatures can turn into people, maybe dinosaurs can turn into birds. I mean, that's what they're thinking. But what would the first flight look like? I don't think there's a lot of evolutionary progress there. Okay. But what do we see in the fossil record? No, dinosaurs did not turn into birds. Dinosaurs ate birds. So, boys and girls, unless you are what you eat, they didn't turn into birds. All right. Well, if there really was a global flood all over the earth, what would you expect to see? You know what I would expect to see? I would expect to see billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. Then when we go out and investigate, what do we see? We see billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. Would you like to learn to say that? Well, I'm going to teach it to you, because we're going to listen to Buddy Davis sing a song, and on the chorus, you're going to sing along. By the time you're done, you're going to know how to say it. So here we go. Let's have some fun with Buddy Davis.
Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, baked on the water, all over the earth. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, baked on the water, all over the earth. Well, there really was a worldwide flood. Just look at the stony curse. With billions of dead things buried in rock layers, baked on the water, all over the earth.
All right, you sing next time in the chorus. I want to hear you. Go.
Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down the water, all over the earth.
And here we are.
Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down the water, all over the earth. Well, there really was a worldwide flood. Just look at the stony curse. With billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down the water, all over the earth.
That wasn't so bad. Try again.
The Bible talks about a worldwide flood. Could the apostles be the proof we see? If there really was a worldwide flood, what would the evidence be?
There you go.
Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down the water, all over the earth. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down the water, all over the earth. Well, there really was a worldwide flood. Just look at the stony curse. With billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down the water, all over the earth.
You get one more chance.
Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down the water, all over the earth. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down the water, all over the earth. Well, there really was a worldwide flood. Just look at the stony curse. With billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down the water, all over the earth.
That was pretty good. I think you'll be singing that in your sleep tonight. I really think so. Well, if you like that song and some of the other things, we have a video with Buddy Davis and Ken Ham get together and talk about dinosaurs. Buddy Davis sings about four of his songs. They're fun songs. Kids love that video. But moving along, after the flood, animals got off the ark, began to migrate all over the earth, and I think the dinosaurs sold T-shirts. I survived the flood. But anyways, if that were true, then what would you expect? Well, I would expect that people saw dinosaurs, right? And if they saw dinosaurs, maybe they'd draw pictures of them and tell stories of them, maybe make rock carvings of them, and maybe they'd brag about killing them. Maybe they'd even put them on their wall, right, Pastor? That's probably what you would do, I'm sure. Okay, yeah, but so therefore, the Bible probably talks about dinosaurs, right? Does the Bible use the word dinosaur? Why not? Well, see, that's what people think. Everybody thinks dinosaurs lived millions of years ago, right? Then they died off, and then mammals, and then eventually people, so you wouldn't have dinosaur, right? Well, you know what? Let's take a look at this. Why don't we see the word dinosaur in the Bible? Because, well, the King James Version, 1611, the word dinosaur didn't come along to over 200 years later. We really wouldn't expect to see it in some of our versions, but you know what? There's places in Scripture that we believe God's describing dinosaurs. Well, how about this in Job chapter 40? God says, "Look now at the behemoth which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. He's got a tail like a cedar. And he is first in the ways of God." Now, a lot of commentaries will tell you, well, it has to be an elephant or a hippo. Well, why couldn't it be a dinosaur? Well, they're putting on the glasses of evolution and think that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago, so it couldn't be a dinosaur. But let's see if it fits, all right? Elephants and hippos, do they eat grass like an ox? Are they herbivores? Yes, they are. Somebody knows. I'm glad they were, because I've seen them and been around them in Africa. How about they are the chief in the ways of God, the first in the ways of God? They're the biggest land animals. Does that fit too? Yeah, it fits. All right, we're 2 out of 3, right? How about that it has a tail like a cedar tree? I'm not sure. You know, when I was in Africa, I took my kids out on Outdoor Ed. It's a fun place. And look, they're looking at elephants. Does that look like a tail like a cedar to you? No, I don't think so. Now, on the Niger River, you take a little pirogue and go out and see these guys. You do not want to get close to them. But does that look like a tail like a cedar? No. There's a tail like a cedar tree. Does it fit an elephant? No, I don't think so. How about a hippo? No. I know what we think. If it's, yes, we think God's saying, look now, Job, look at Behemoth that I made right along with you. Yeah, see, it probably, a Behemoth was a large sauropod, maybe a brachiosaur from the sauropods, a large variety of them. But the Bible also talks about dragons. And people say, oh, you believe in those fanciful mythical dragons? That's silly, right? Well, let's see what the world says about even dragons. Let's listen to this.
There is one creature remembered in the legends of almost every human culture that's ever existed. A creature depicted with remarkable similarity by the Chinese, the Aztecs, even the Inuit, who live in a frozen land where no reptiles are found. Even they have stories of this animal, the dragon. Cultures from different continents, people who had no contact with one another, yet all of them have stories describing the same mythical animal. Could it be these stories were more than myth? What if we discovered that this creature that haunts our imagination had once been real?
How about that? So when did people start to think that dragons were mythical? Well, let's go back 100 years ago, Encyclopedia Britannica, and it's talking about dragons, and it says, nor were these dragons anything but real terrors, even in the imagination of the learned, until contemporary modern times, 1910. As the waste places were cleared, indeed they withdrew far from the haunts of men, and in Europe their last lurking places were in the inaccessible heights of the Alps, and then eventually they were relegated to what? The region of myth. So at one time, people understood these were real creatures, large reptile creatures really lived. As people took away their areas, they began to go into different places. Eventually, they began to die out. So if that's the case, then you'd expect that people would make these type of carvings, right? Or tell stories about killing them. Yes, like St. George and the Dragon is the most famous. A knight rode into a village being terrorized by a huge reptile creature. He killed it, and now he's immortalized on cathedral walls around the world. Other places, many accounts in Europe of people encountering large reptile creatures and killing them. What about China? Are they big on dragons? Oh, you better believe it. Marco Polo even wrote about how big their eyes were and what they looked like and things like that. He even talked about how they raised dragons to pull the chariots in the royal parades. I don't know about you kids, but I think you'd have to have a pretty good-sized lizard to pull a chariot, right? That's what I think. Well, you know, so what were the dragons? Well, you see, when you had these different varieties of dinosaurs, some had wings, some had horns, things like that, when they began to die out, they began to be legends that Grandpa would tell about. And eventually, they put those different features together into one fairy tale type creature, and that's the legend of the dragon that we have today. That's kind of a mythical character. But the Bible also talks about Leviathan. We're not sure what that would be, but some type of water type creature that people may have seen. The Bible talks about flying serpents. Flying serpents, yeah. Well, you want to see an eyewitness account? This is in Black Dragon Canyon in Utah, and here you see this is huge, right? And it's got leathery type wings. It's got a crest on its head, web feet. Doesn't fit any animal that lives today. What we feel is it's an eyewitness account of a large pteranodon or pterodactyl type creature. What if you saw pictures on the side of a cliff wall or something like that. Well, you go to Utah again, and what do you see? There they are, right on the wall, right along with bison and elk and things like that. But they call it a mythical creature. But these are all over the world, and people don't know they exist. Here's my favorite. It's a 12th century temple in Cambodia. Long time ago, right? And on a relief, there are animals that people saw. There's a monkey at the bottom, but what's he pointing at? What's it look like, boys and girls, to you? Hey, what? What's the steggy things on the back, right? Yeah, right. This is before dinosaur books, okay? In other words, people did see them. They eventually died off. They carved them into rocks. You're in Mexico, many clay figures, just what we'd expect if they really did see them. Want to see some good, solid evidence that they didn't die off millions of years ago? You know, they found a T-Rex bone out west that was so big, they could not take it to the lab, so they had to cut it in half and ship it to the lab. And when they looked inside, you know what they found? They found soft tissues. Let's watch this.
You are not going to believe this. When she picked up a small piece to stop the reaction by putting it in water, it stretched, and it sproined, and it moved all over the place. So we knew we had something pretty unusual.
It appears to be soft tissue. When they look at neighboring parts of the bone, they're even more surprised.
Out popped the blood vessels, and they were pretty incredible. And I said, I don't believe it. That's not possible. We need to do it again. And again, it's one of those just goosebump-inducing scientific moments, that's all I can say. And they don't really happen very often.
Blood vessels should not exist in fossilized bone. Many scientists believe organic molecules can't last more than 100,000 years. Yet Schweitzer's bone is 68 million years old.
Or maybe it's just that old at all. You know what that is? That's a picture of T-Rex flesh, right? How about that? Not millions of years old at all, right? So yes, what? So here's the thing. If people really did see them and draw pictures of them, why don't we see dino crossing signs today? What happened to the dinosaurs? Well, there's a theory going around. I'm not sure this one's right, but some people think that might be right. But, you know, the evolutionists have no clue what happened to the dinosaurs. Some think they got indigestion. They ate too much. Maybe they took one of those fad diets on TV. You got to watch out for that. Or maybe it was an asteroid. Or no, they turned into birds. I know it. Yeah. See, they don't have a clue what happened to the dinosaurs. But folks, I know what happened to the dinosaurs. It's not a mystery to me at all what happened to the dinosaurs. Are you ready? They died. Yeah. Don't animals go extinct all the time? They do, don't they? Yeah. The dodo bird went extinct, right? The woolly mammoth went extinct. Tasmanian tiger, they thought it went extinct. Did you hear they just found them? That's interesting. Yeah, the coelacanth. Now, there's a fish that lived 65 million years ago along with the dinosaurs, and then they found one. That's amazing. It's a living fossil. Right, it's got to be very rare. No, they're not very rare at all. So, folks, just because people think animals have gone extinct, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are. So I hope you begin to understand now why Answers in Genesis is big on dinosaurs. Because what? People have a lot of questions about dinosaurs. And because they have questions on dinosaurs, then we have like a video like this. Or the answer books will give a whole chapter on dinosaurs. This will give answers about that. There's books on dinosaurs for little kids, and you can see them in the magazines. And we have curriculum that will talk about dinosaurs. We also have the timeline that helps young people understand that the events of Scripture are not fairy tale or just stories, but they're real events that go right along in real history. And I think we only have one or two left. If we run out of the dinosaur book, we can always back order it for you and it'll come to you. But this one on creation basics, it's a great one. Because it's packed full of information. Every two pages is something like a plate tectonics. You open up to page 35, one, two pages. You know, so it's not an overkill, but it's just great for young people. There's this famous one on dragons. All right. So, folks, for too long, Dinosaurs have been used to prove to kids you can't believe the Bible. You know what? We're fed up. We're turning them into missionary lizards. That's what we're doing with dinosaurs, right? In other words, boys and girls know the dinosaurs did not, you know, live millions of years ago, and then eventually they died, and so therefore you can't believe the Bible. God made them on day six. In other words, you can trust the Bible. You can trust all the Bible. And if you can trust it all, you can give your entire heart to Jesus Christ, right, boys and girls? Amen. Thank you so much. Let's take a little bit of a break.